Conference record has joined the conference.
Okay, well, welcome everyone to tonight's topical call on childcare and what that means for families that have children with special health care needs. And tonight our guest speakers are Amber Schwab and Christy. Can you tell me your last name?
It's Azendorf.
Azendorf. I didn't want to say it wrong, so thank you for that.
You bet.
And Christy Azendorf, and they come from Child Care Resource and Referral. We're recording this call, as many of you know, and I heard some beeps while I was pressing the number. So there's a few of us on tonight, and so Amber and Christy, I'll leave it to you to go ahead and get started. And generally, we're pretty informal, so you'll have to set times or set, you know, let us know when you have some time for question and answers too. So with that, I'll leave it to you guys.
Great. Well, good evening, Schwab, and I am a family group child care consultant with Child Care Resource and Referral, and Christy will also be presenting with me, and she'll talk about herself in a little bit here. Tonight, we wanted to just talk a little bit about our program, but hopefully by the end of this call, you'll have a better understanding of how we can help you as parents make more clear choices when choosing child care, and as child care providers and knowing the services that CCRNR can offer to you. We also hope that you have a better understanding on specific services that we offer, whether that's a service itself or information that we can offer to families who serve children who have children with special needs, and also to child care providers who serve those children in their care. So now I'm going to actually turn it over to Christy, and she's going to talk a little bit about the parent services division.
And I don't know for sure if any of you have the kind of the PowerPoint downloaded or anything, but we'll just kind of follow that outline, and then, but I'll kind of talk through it. And but if you have questions at any point, we would field those questions whenever you have them. So feel free to jump in. Some of the services that we provide, kind of an overview, is we have parent services. So the main part of that is assisting families in their search for child care, professional development, which is providing child care providers with educational opportunities, trainings that are online or face-to-face, and Amber will talk more about those in a bit. Consultation services, so we offer support to the child care programs and communities through technical assistance and on-site consultation. And data is another thing that if it has to do with child care, we may have the data to tell you about the supply and demand, those kinds of things. So we gather and then disseminate information related to the industry of child care. So that's kind of the main functions that we have. We do have offices in Bismarck and Minot, Fargo, Grand Forks, and Jamestown. And in each of those offices, we have varied staff, depending on funding, depending on, what they need to be connected to. But we do have early childhood consultants. We have business consultants, child care health consultants, parent services coordinators, and professional development and training coordinators. So those are all the different kinds of staff that we have that support families and providers in the industry of child care. I think it's important to kind of just show, kind of paint the big picture of child care so you have an idea. We work primarily with licensed child care providers in North Dakota. And in North Dakota, we have a family group licenses, which families are licensed up to 7 children, and then they can have additional 2 school-age children in many locations. There are about 1,236 programs, and this is a ballpark figure because it changes, obviously, from day to day, serving about 15,000 children. And then in child care centers, which are programs that are over 19 or more, so I forgot to mention group or maybe up to 18, depending on the person's space that they have available. But then there's a child care center, which a lot of people use that term, but a center is typically licensed for 19 or more children, and it can be up to hundreds of children in a center. We have 128 of those in the state, serving almost 11,000 children. And then we have school-age care, some programs that are specifically geared towards school-age. Some of them are actually on-site at schools. They might be near schools, but that's kind of their areas to serve school-age children. And there are about 55 of those programs serving about 5,000 children. So altogether, we have over 1,400 programs serving about 30,000 children in licensed child care. And we can go into all kinds of detail about what licensing is, but licensing basically is meeting the minimum health and safety standards that the state puts forth, and then beyond that, we try to help people go from the minimal licensing standards to quality. So it's not our responsibility to license them. That is done state licenses programs, and most counties are contracted out to do the licensing studies. So that's not the area of our expertise, is the licensing. But we try to help people not only become licensed, but maybe go beyond that to quality. And another thing that if you have the PowerPoint in front of you, or if you want to look at it at any point, there's another graph that's on there, or chart, that it's about child care. And what it is the colored chart that shows the extent to which licensed child care meets the potential demand. So, for example, in some counties, the supply and demand kind of work out pretty well, because we consider a healthy economy for child care to be, the industry to be about 50% of the need is met by licensed care, because we know some care is not going to be licensed care. It might be a relative or a neighbor or a friend that is caring for the child, or it might be that parents work different shifts so they don't need child care. So we know that not everybody is looking for licensed child care programs, but 50% is considered kind of a good, healthy industry standard, that at least 50%. And there are many counties, especially if you look at that chart, that especially in western North Dakota, that fall very short of that, that have 0 to 10% of the need met. And as many of you know, that in northwest North Dakota is especially rough right now. I think in Williston, from day to day, we sometimes have no vacancies for children of any age. Not even full-time three-year-olds can find care in Williston and licensed child care. So we continue to work to kind of work on the supply to meet the demand. So, and I know Amber's probably going to talk a little bit more about that. Now, the division that I kind of oversee in the state is called Parent Services. And just to give you an overview of what Parent Services does, we maintain a database of the licensed child care providers in all of North Dakota. The data that we get is self-reported. So a provider, tells us this information and we put it into the database. Now, some of it obviously has to be verified that they have a license and such, but other pieces, like whether they have a fenced yard or a dog or cat, is something they report to us. We don't actually go out into the program to verify that information. The providers are also asked to keep that information current. Frustration parents have sometimes is that they'll, call us, we do a referral, and then they go out to the program and the provider says, well, I filled that vacancy. Well, vacancies fill quickly because there aren't many spots. But besides that, sometimes when a provider fills a vacancy, they forget to call us and tell us they filled it, and so their name continues to go out until either they call us or a parent calls us and says that's the issue. So we do ask the providers to do that, and partly because we just don't have enough staff to call 1,400 providers every week to make sure that they still have no vacancies or they still have that one vacancy. So we really work with the providers to try to help keep that database current. We do only work with licensed programs, which is good because there's some level of comfort in the fact that they have been inspected. They have to meet certain standards at the point of licensing. But it's not a guarantee of quality, and we want parents to really understand that. Licensing doesn't mean you're going to go into that program and it's going to be a great program or that it's even right for your child. So we try to help people put things in parents' hands that help them determine if it's the right fit for them. And as I joke many times, is although I highly regard my own opinion, that doesn't mean everybody does. And so we can't base it on my opinion. We have to have families really do the research and find out if this is a good match. And then it's just another tidbit kind of to tell you is that about 45% of the licensed programs have reported to us that they have training or experience caring for children with various special needs. And some of those needs that we ask them about, we actually ask them if they have experience or education or training in ADHD, asthma, allergies, autism, developmental delay, emotional or behavioral issues, HIV or hepatitis B, hearing, sign language monitors, physical seizures, special health needs, and visual. So we ask them those questions. Again, it's self-reported. So someone could say, yes, I have experience working with kids with ADHD, and it might be that their nephew that they see a couple times a year has ADHD, so they feel like they have some kind of connection or experience. Or it could be someone who has much, much more experience than that. Although we don't judge that. We just, do they have it? Yes or no? And then we ask the parent then to really ask the questions. So that's kind of what we do, is we maintain that database. And then the next thing that we do is we try to determine what the family's needs are. And the way we do that is we either gather it by families calling us on the phone or us online. We have at www.ndchildcare.org, so it's North Dakota Child Care. You can go online and search our database 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And as much as I like that option, and a lot of people like to use it, I also know that there's nothing quite like talking to a real person to help you through the process. But we do gather information, and we want to know, you know, what the ages of the children are, what schedule you need care, things like that. And then we will search the database and try to find families or the providers that match what your family's needs are. So we take that information, or else the software takes the information, puts it in the database, and then it does that dating game. And narrows it down. Instead of, for example, in Minot, you know, 120 child care programs that you would just get this list of and you don't have any idea if any of them have any vacancies or if they would fit the hours you need, it narrows it down to programs that are most closely match the need the parent has indicated. And the provider has said, I have vacancies or I'm open these hours or whatever. So it kind of helps narrow that down. But we do also want people to know that those referrals have to be objective and they're never recommendations. So, like I said, my opinion's one thing, but we will not recommend a program. And the main reason is because although they've met licensing standards, we don't know the care the way that a parent will know the care when they go and look, when they go and see what's going on in that program. And so we don't want to recommend anyone. They've just, at one time, we know they've met the minimal licensing standards and had some inspections done. So that's kind of how that part of it works. And then, as I said, it's narrowed down, so it's a customized referral listing. It's not just a mass list that's out floating around. And sometimes people call us and say, "Just I want a list of all the programs in a particular city." And we say, well, here's the reason we don't do that. And there are a few reasons. One is we don't want to waste your time or the provider's time. If they don't have vacancies that might work for you, or at least the last time they talked to us, you know, that vacancies that will work. And there could be a program that was licensed when that list was printed, but 3 weeks later their license is revoked because of something bad, or they have a correction order or something going on, and you don't know that because that list doesn't indicate that in any way, shape, or form. Now, if you called us at the point that we do the referral, we know that that program doesn't have any of those issues. They have not been revoked because the licensing staff keep us informed about correction orders, revocations, all those pieces. So our database in that regard is even more current than whether they have a vacancy or not. So that's one of the things that we make sure. And so, like I said, it's a real customized list. And then we try to give parents consumer resources. Like, we have a parent guide called Finding and Using Child Care in North Dakota. And if you go to the website, you can click the PDF of it and look at it. If you ask us, we'll be happy to send it to you. It talks about the industry of child care. Like, what does group mean? What does center mean? What are the steps for shopping for child care? What do I do if I have problems? Those kinds of things. So that booklet is kind of just a handy handbook about that. And we also have interview checklists. So that's also on our website, or you can call us for. And that, I think those might have been attachments that you could look at through the download also. But that has so many great questions that you either want to ask on the phone or in person, or things you want to look for. Not only does it have the questions, we have a column called Best Practices to tell you why that's important. So if one of the questions is, you know, who might interact with my child on any given day, then it tells you, well, part of the reason you need to know that is because you need to know the backgrounds of those people who might make care for your child. Because sometimes, let's say, if, for example, a center, you may meet the center director, but do you really know all the caregivers that might care for your child? And that's real important to do. And then we have kind of assorted brochures related to the ages and needs of the children and family. So if you're looking for care for an infant, if you're looking for care for, or you're having separation anxiety issues, or you're pretty sure you will, we have different brochures that we kind of tuck in to kind of customize that packet and make it more meaningful to you. So it's real important to use that checklist. Now, we tell people, even if you're going to use your family member or the neighbor or whoever, use those questions because it really can clear it up for you. The issues that you might run into, like, well, you know, I'm going to be done at 5:30, and then if you haven't really talked about when you need to pick up your child, suddenly that becomes a sore spot between you and the caregiver. So now what we do in addition, the families identify themselves as families that have children with special needs, then we have a booklet called Choosing High-Quality Child Care for a Child with Special Needs. It's one that's been developed nationally by Child Care Aware. We also have a handout called The Top 10 Things You Need to Know About the ADA. And that's, you know, we want providers to know that too, but we want parents to understand kind of their rights and what some of that terminology is. We also have the Family Voices brochures. And we just had a meeting today. I was in Bismarck today, and we talked about it and decided not only are we going to have those brochures, you know, hard copy of it, we want PDFs of it, we want to make sure it's on our website, all those other things. So we do that. And then also if a parent wants to, we can highlight those programs that have the providers that have training or experience in certain areas. We try not to do the referral with that in mind because just because, let's say your child has severe asthma and you think, well, I want to find someone who can help care for that child. We don't want to limit your options to just the people who currently have experience or training in that area. We want you to look at all the providers and decide who you think would be a good caregiver. And then somebody, many providers would be very willing to learn if you're willing to teach them. Or maybe a professional needs to teach them something. So we don't want to shut the door and only give you the options of people who say, gosh, you know, I have an education or experience in that area. We want you to think about all of them. Yet if you want to, us to highlight it or include that information, we will do that too. So, you know, that's a way that we're trying to expand the field of child care, you know, the options for you. And, you know, if you come into a situation where, you know, you've got care right now and you're dissatisfied and you really want to look for somebody else, you know, we can talk to you about what your options might be. We can tell you about the ADA stuff that you probably know already, but if you don't know, we can talk to you about that. But most parents that we've talked to, if their child has been dismissed or they've been asked to leave, parents say, I don't necessarily want my child in that care anymore, but help me find somebody else who can help me. So that's one of the pieces or one of the things that we work on. So those are some things. And like I said, today we met as a parent services group in the state, and we talked about not only do we want to put the top 10 things you need to know about the ADA in the packets that we send to parents. We want to attach it as part of a email or at least a good spot where it can be linked to, and we want to do the same on our website. So we're going to do some website revisions in order to have this really readily available for people. And the next time we update our parent guide, it's on the docket to work on that section of our parent guide and enhance that. And so those are some of the things that are kind of our proposed next steps. But since we met today, we know that we're in agreement that that's what we need to do, so we see that coming soon. So that's sort of, you know, a general overview of what Parent Services does. I don't know if anyone has any questions now or if you want to ask them later, whichever you prefer. I'm game for the questions, or I can hang on for the whole call. So,
does anybody have any questions at this point? Okay, hearing none, we'll keep going.
All right, well, now I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the other services we offer to child care providers across the state. One is that we do have the training services or the professional development services. North Dakota Child Care Resource and Referral is contracted through the Department of Human Services to provide trainings to child care providers. Each child care provider is required a minimum number of hours of trainings per year based on their license type or the number of hours they work per week. So we are the primary source of training for most child care providers in North Dakota. I'll talk a little bit about the different types of trainings we offer, but some of the trainings that are required of child care providers, which was new this year, is 12 hours of basic child care. And that includes a lot of health and safety practices. So they all receive that within 3 months of them being hired at a center or licensed as a new program in their home. And we, CCRNR does provide that training to them. And it is an online training currently right now. All the 12 hours is online and free of charge to child care providers. And we highly encourage anyone working in that child care, regardless if they're paid or not, if they're just a backup, to take that training. We also partner with the North Dakota Growing Future System, which is the state registry system for trainings to those child care providers. This is also very new, and a lot of child care providers are currently still learning the little kinks and quirks of this program. But as of right now, all trainings that are given to child care providers must now be approved by the Growing Future System in the state. So this has been a good benefit for them because this will kind of weed out some of those trainings that really don't pertain to child care providers and also give them access to better, meatier quality trainings for themselves. In 2011, CCR&R delivered over almost 15,000 trainings, or I'm sorry, 15,000 individuals took trainings from CCR&R.
1,500, I think.
We're done. Did somebody come on the line? Or?
Oh, I did 1,500, I think.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, 1,500 individuals with approximately 26,000 times those trainings were offered. And a lot of that's the Easy Reach online training system. So if you move to the next slide, we have three different major types of trainings that we offer, one being the Easy Reach training, which is free. And it's mostly basic ABC kind of training. It's usually 1 to 3 hours in length that they're given credit for, and it's all over the Internet. They can access this training 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, whenever it's convenient for them. And what they do is they go through an online PowerPoint presentation at their own speed, at their own pace. It's a little interactive where they're able to answer some yes or no questions, true or false questions, given some scenarios and answering questions as they go through it. And then they're also given a test at the end. That's usually multiple choice, a little fill-in-the-blank type testing that is automatically graded at the end and given them credit. If they don't pass that training, they are able to retake it once they've gone through the training presentation again. We also have an Eager to Learn training, which is more in-depth online training. These are usually for people who've been in the field quite a long time or have come into the field with a degree of some sort or the background of the child development. They are a lot of message boarding, emailing, kind of the whole online package in one little bundle there. We also offer the face-to-face, which is pretty typical, full-day trainings or a series. They may be 1 or 2 hours at night, but they're very easily accessed to providers. They're always working around their schedule, so you won't see too many during the day. So those are just the types of trainings that we've offered. If you move to the next slide, I put in there a few samples of the trainings that we've offered in the past to child care providers, and each of the training that I put in there had some focus on children with special needs. So if it's either mental health or sensory processing disorder, or even just recognizing that there's some signs or symptoms going on with that little person that they need to talk to the parents about. There's some face-to-face, there's some Eager to Learn, there's some Easy Reach in there. And one of the Easy Reach courses, the legal and insurance, that one really focuses on the ADA as far as what the laws are. And so child care providers are taking that, and also the child care disabilities rights law. And they're able to access those at any time. One of the barriers or the walls we tend to hit with offering trainings with children with special needs is that a lot of times providers choose not to sign up for them unless they actually have a child with that special need. So we've held a training on children with autism, and that one's a little bit of a higher, I guess, priority right now. So we did have a good turnout for that. But at times we've noticed that it's really hard to get providers into something they don't currently have in their program. So now I'm going to talk a little bit about the consultation services, and this is the part where I kind of come into play in what I do on a daily basis. So the business of child care can be very complex. It's not your typical self-employed business. There's a lot involved. There's a lot of turnover in this business, so we know that it's very difficult to have a family child care or a center child care where you're hiring staff and not able to pay them what they probably deserve to be paid. So it's a very hard business to be in. So we do offer services to these programs on various types of topics. There's nothing that we won't discuss with the provider. One thing positive is that when a new program starts, we're notified right away by the state. Sometimes before they get started, sometimes as they're getting started, sometimes right after they're getting started. So the positive thing is we reach about 90 to 95% of those providers. So we're able to go into their homes, meet with them face-to-face, give them information about our services. And then I'm going to talk a little bit about another project that we have with those providers, but each child care provider, as they start, gets a resource binder. And what we've tried to really focus on lately is including more information about children with special needs and also the ADA law. So right now, we've recently added some brochures, one called Including All Children, which talks about inclusion, and then an ADA question and answer for child care providers. And that actually I attached as a handout, so you do have that available if you would like to look at it. The other thing that we are doing a little differently now is special health care plans. Recently, when the rules and regulations changed for child care providers in January, one of the requirements now is that they have a health care plan on children who have special health care needs. These can range from asthma, ADHD, Down syndrome, feeding tubes, allergies, anything, any high allergy like bees or nuts. And so what we offer to them is our health consultant to come in and help them get through that and get those written out. Although we have offices in the five hub cities, we do have, you know, the Bismarck, Fargo, Grand Forks, Minot, Jamestown, we are able to reach all counties in North Dakota. So we travel and go out to the rural communities just like we would in Bismarck or Fargo. Okay, so in 2009, CCRNR was awarded some ERA funding to support new and existing child care programs. Well, in 2011, our funding was cut, as Christy said. That kind of depends on our staff a lot of the times of who we have on board with us. But it did allow us to still continue our projects that we're offering in 2009. So I was going to talk a little bit about those projects because it's one of the main components in the consultation services. We do call the projects Growing in Child Care. Sorry, I'll give you a little information about 2011, 2013. Currently, right now, we are trying to have 200 family or group, depending on their license type, or 24 centers, so about 224 programs, come on board and work with us for a period of 10 months to possibly 18 months in order to fulfill the requirements of the project. They will receive individualized training plans in the centers where they have staff. Their staff will also receive that. They get training. They're linked to the consultation. So they take trainings, and we go in there and talk to them about all the trainings they've taken and ask if they have any questions and set some goals with them. They also have a formal assessment done on their programs. In the family group, we go in and do an observation on their home. And it's national standards that we're comparing them to, so they're able to kind of see how their program rates compare to other programs across the nation. We also work on them with improvement plans or goal plans based on where they think they need to be, so we really do help them improve that quality into their home or their center. They can receive incentives, which is resources or equipment, anywhere from $800 to $10,000. And the reason it's such a wide gap is it's based on the number of children in their program. So if it's a family program, they're obviously not going to receive as much as a center that holds 150 children. They also receive on-site health consultation, which comes from our nurse that we have on staff. And she will focus really on those health care plans, getting those people who have those children with special needs on a plan of action so that nothing's ever missed. She'll also focus on emergency preparedness and some personal care routines that are identified in the assessments that we do, diapering, hand washing, health and safety types of things. And one thing that we changed this round is that we are now giving priority to programs who serve children with special needs and or if they're on child care assistance. So the more children they serve with special needs or the more children they have with the child care assistance program, they are given higher priority with the existing programs. And then we have another project, and this is the one I was talking about that we go in and into their homes and work with them as they're newly licensed or getting licensed or just starting out. Right now, our goal is to recruit 180 new family or group providers across the state over the period of these next 2 years, 2011 to 2013. And we also plan on recruiting 8 centers across the state as well. So as you can see, we really have big plans in mind. Western North Dakota is struggling every day. We hear stories upon stories of moms quitting jobs because they can't find childcare, and it's becoming really a big issue. So we really are working hard to recruit new programs. And they get a huge benefit from working with us. Again, they receive the consultation and also some incentives. If they're a new family group provider, they receive $800 to start their program, again, in resources and equipment. And we're in there for about 6 months helping them along the way, especially those business practices. We really do focus on the business practice in the family child cares because that's usually the number one reason that they quit the business. New centers, same kind of program that we have center consultants that will work with them, get their business plan development going, and they will be able to be awarded $9,500 to implement into their program. So we really do focus on, like I said, the ADA, and we're making that a main point at this time. So I'm out there every day, all the time, in businesses, and I see a lot of programs that have children with special needs, and they don't really understand what that means. A lot of times they're not informed by the parents, or maybe they misunderstood, whatever it may be. So on the next two slides, I kind of put together some information of what parents can do and what providers can do to kind of work together. So what parents can do is they need to have that open communication. Parents should clearly explain their wishes and provide information on problems and on changes at home about their child's routine, activities, and preference. And that includes children with special needs. There's a lot of times we will go in and the parents have not properly informed the provider on what they require for their child. And so sometimes the provider will take it upon themselves to do what they think is right. So parents should be given respect as to the provider, that provider is a big part of their child's life and will be for the next couple of years. And so they really need to, the biggest thing is invite them to be a part of the IEP or the ISSP if they have one. If the child doesn't have one, then obviously that wouldn't be a need. But if they are out there, they need to be a part of those. They need to understand those. They need to know what's going on with that little one. And then what providers can do is, again, ongoing communication. Parents should expect updates on their child's progress. Again, if your child's in a program from 8 o'clock in the morning till 5 o'clock, 5:30 at night, you aren't with your child as much as that child care provider can possibly be, and they may see things in a different eyes, and so they really need to keep updates on those little ones for the parents to have a better understanding when they are having their children screened or going into a doctor. They should ask to be a part of that IEP or the ISSP, and then also accept the fact that the parent is the expert in the child's life. And if they have concerns, to discuss those with the parents and not just make the diagnosis themselves. And assurance that the child is safe and in a healthy environment. So all providers should provide a safe and healthy environment for children with special needs or just any child in their care. We do have a website, and on the next slide you'll see our website. There's a lot of information on there for parents, for providers. We have information on our training system, and anyone is welcome to take our trainings, regardless if you're a provider or a parent. There's lots of information on communities, how we're helping communities, how we're working with communities. Data and publications, Christy talked a little bit about the number of child care providers. We also have county profiles that will tell you the average cost of child care in your county. There's information to contact different people across the state. And just about anything you need to find on child care is on our website. And we currently just updated the looks, so it's brand new and fun and interesting. If you turn to the next slide, there's also some contacts for parents. There's a phone number, there's a 1-800 number. And then for providers, there's also a 1-800 number. And now I'm just going to open it up for any questions that anyone may or may not have.
That was a great, great overview for both of you. Does anybody have any questions at all? Amber, do you guys ever have, we've got many presentations on family-centered care, what that means for families and providers. Do you ever bring in others to do, like, in services for you all for, like, staffing and things?
Yeah, we definitely attend many trainings and increase our professional development.
Okay.
Year-round, I guess, as well.
But we're always open to new ideas if you have some ideas of who would, you know, definitely expand our knowledge base because we're always willing to learn.
Sure. Okay. Thanks.
We do try to partner with other agencies as well. Head Start is one of those agencies that we've partnered with, NDSU, Extension Services, and so we have done other things for ourselves.
And did you guys say that you do have an ADA training on the website?
We do. It's called Children's Disabilities Rights Law.
Okay. Thank you.
Focused on ADA.
Did anybody have any questions at all? Kind of a quiet bunch tonight. I did send out the handouts, the ADA Top 10, the Special Needs Care Child Care Checklist, the ADA something, a document, a Word document, a parent handbook, and then the presentation, and I'm hoping everybody got that. And just for your information, again, I'm going to be posting this on the web as soon as I get the recording, so feel free to utilize this for your own trainings as well, too, to direct people to that, because you guys did a great job. And I'll also put the handouts on the website as well. Anybody, any questions at all for Amber and Christine?
Do you do any sensitivity training to providers if they're noticing something in the daycare setting and they need to be talking to the family about it?
Yeah, we do. We have a couple trainings that when I think they're called talking to families when concerns arise. Is that what you're kind of talking about?
Yeah. Do you, like, only offer them then? I mean, that's not something that you just go in and do trainings on that. They have to actually ask for that?
We have an online training that they're able to take whenever is convenient for them. They also can call us at any time. We have many resources in our offices and ways that we can help them bring that information to the parent.
And we can't dictate what trainings providers take. We do encourage them to take a wide variety of trainings, and it's one of the offerings. And it does talk about difficult issues, and the difficult issues can be anything from I noticed something about a child that I'm not sure you're seeing, or it could be about even on another end of the spectrum about, you know, financial kind of things. But one of the trainings really kind of focuses on, like she said, when concerns arise, when the provider is concerned about something, and from their point of view, they feel a need to talk to the parent. So, you know, there are, just like all people, there are people who are great at presenting difficult stuff and others that are not. But like I said, we can't require anyone to take particular training, but it is available for them if they run into that issue.
Are you asking as a parent or a provider? Or?
You know, I'm just asking probably as a parent.
Okay. And if you have concerns about your child, you know, there's many screenings out there that can help with that. Or if you feel like they wasn't very sensitive, just be open with the provider and make sure they have that understanding that it was really not an effective way of talking to you.
Yeah, if families have issues with providers, who do they bring that to you all? Who do they take that to?
Well, provider, if they have an issue with a provider, we're not the ones that actually technically regulate the child care programs. So typically they would go to their county social service office and ask for the child care licensor, and then they would report it, especially if they feel like it's an issue with someone not being in compliance with the rules and regulations. Sometimes that's difficult to know if it's just really not a good business practice or if it's something that's out of compliance with regulations. And we field those calls, and we do our best to try to handle those. But we don't actually have any power over the child care providers, but we can give parents resources, or we can help you find the licensor that licenses that child care program, so that maybe if, for example, you feel like one of the issues is seems like there's way too many children in this setting, or we had, unfortunately, one recently where The caregiver's response to a child who was not interacting well with other kids was to just corral that child, and they didn't have any interaction with children. Instead of maybe working with the child or getting experts in there to help them figure out how to help that child, they just kind of isolated them. And so there was a correction order written, and then they ask us to come in and kind of work with the provider on alternatives. Between the licensor and us, we try to address the issues and help them see a better way to serve that child and the family.
So, we have relationships with the licensors across the state, and they're open and willing to call us and say, you know, I got this going on in this provider's home. Could you help me work with them and kind of figure that out? So like Christy said, in that situation, that's what we're doing.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Is there any data that's being collected on how many children are turned away from daycare who have special health care needs?
Christy, I don't believe so.
There was a dismissal study a few years ago that was done, and I think that's on our website. But we just switched over our website, so I haven't actually looked to see if it's there. But there was a study that was done a few years ago about why children have been dismissed from child care. And, whether we get the real answer or not sometimes is the trick, you know. Sometimes providers who either don't want to care for a child with special needs or they don't feel like they can do it might make up another reason why. So whether it's clear or not, but we do have some data about that. I think it's decent data. It's just probably not exact. It's not scientific.
I'm here to charge.
Christy said, too, the biggest reason providers turn children with special needs away is they aren't educated on how they can get assistance to help with that child and that they're not just going to be thrown out there on their own. So we do need parents to help educate them.
One of the things that happens, too, I think, is that we're not saying that we are the experts on how to care for all kinds of different children. We can try to help providers find the resources, or we might be able to suggest to a provider, talk to the parents and ask if you can be part of the IEP. See if the professionals that work with this child can come and talk to you about it so that you can best serve them, and you can be a team and working together on helping this child have the best experience possible. But we don't purport to be the experts in any particular area. Some of us have, personal experience or professional experience, but, gosh, we don't have that full gamut of experience in every area.
Right. Any other questions at all? I want to thank Amber and Christine for joining us this evening and great information. I'm excited to put it up on the web too. Time tonight and helping us out with the topical call. Thank you. Good night, everyone.
Good night.
The leader has disconnected. The conference will now end.